Good evening.
It's 7 p.m. on Monday night. That means it's game time for the Marriage Table with your host, Eric.
And Fred, it's a show that tackles the issues that rival the modern day marriage.
Together, we're going to take the field with a game plan that will give teen marriage the win. So let's
get ready
for the kickoff on the Marriage Table.
Another Monday, and not just any other Monday. It is Labor Day, everybody. And yes, it is burning up here in the city of Philadelphia, the brotherly love. It is hot outside, but I know the grills are going, the family fellowship is going. And guess what? This is a perfect opportunity. Coach Eric and ourselves are going to be talking on the Marriage Playbook Season 6, Game 6, Part 2. Family Matters. We are continuing the series of Family Matters. And on last week, you heard our own Elder Irene and Elder Antone Major, and they did part one of Family Matters. So, look, we're going to continue it on. We are so excited. Again, welcome, welcome. We thank all of our listeners, family listeners today, and we're going to get into some family things. So, Coach Eric, how do you feel today?
Feel great. We got great weather. It's Labor Day. The summer's coming to a close, but we still have good weather. Beginning of Indian summer. But hey, we're at the Marriage Playbook. This is Coach Eric, and we're here with Coach Fran on Labor Day, bringing this show to you. Part two of the series Family Matters. Part two of three of Family Matters. Today we're going to be focusing on bringing the family together. Bringing the family together. And this is a common problem with families, a lot of division in families. You have certain members of the families not talking to one another, cousins not seeing cousins, having separate engagements. You know, there's this new feuds going on within the family, and that filters down to the younger parts of the family who have nothing to do with the feud whatsoever. So what we're talking about is bringing the family together, not only your immediate family. I mean, because I can ask most people, particularly in our community, how difficult it is to plan a family reunion because we can't seem to bring all the families together, and there's a reason behind that, okay? So we're going to discuss that today on the Marriage Playbook, okay? So Family Matters, Part 2, bringing the family together. We're going to take a break, and we're going to come right back with the Marriage Playbook.
The Harrison Wedding Consultants have been servicing the Delaware Valley for over 20 years with the finest chefs, great venues, and pastries. The Harrison Wedding Consultants are prepared to service your every event. Contact us at 267-884-9472 or follow us on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram. The Harrison Wedding Consultants, quality you can trust.
This is Dr. Joanne Dixon, pastor of the Living Word Evangelistic Missionary Church at 2234 North Front Street here in Philadelphia. Join us Sundays at 10 a.m. for Sunday school and at 11 a.m. for morning worship, prayer and Bible study on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. You can follow us on Facebook or dial 267-314-5220. We are a loving church and a learning church, which make us a growing church. God bless you.
Greetings, everyone. This is Erica Burnett, CEO and creative designer of A Single Suggestion, a business that specializes in handcrafted stationery. Visit our website at www.asinglesuggestion.com to see what we have to offer. Our email address is info@asinglesuggestion.com. Please follow us on Facebook and Instagram. Pay us a visit to compliment your success at the hand of creative design.
All right, man, we're back with the Marriage Playbook, Season 6, Game 7. It's called Family Matters. This is part two of the series of three. Okay, we're going to deal right with this. We're going to get right into it because I want you to get back to your barbecues and everything, all right? So with the pressures of life and all the scheduling that the things that cause us to run and be busy, you know, we often find our families in a state of disconnect. And it takes a concerted effort by all to keep the family together. So this is why you're tuned in today, because we're going to talk about this in detail. And the first segment is called The Disjointed union, disjointed union. I heard this word disjointed from a family member who said, this is what's wrong with our family. We're just disjointed. We're the same, but we're not together. We're not working together. We're not even communicating together or even fellowshipping with one another. So when the whole family is not whole, this is considered a disjointed family. It's not whole. You know, we're family. We're bound by blood or bound by love or bound by acceptance, but we're still fragmented. Okay? So this is what we're going to deal with. So some broken families, we just coexist in the family, but we're not present with one another. We find this out when phone calls are made between family members and they talk about an event that somebody missed. Somebody graduated, a niece graduated, a cousin graduated, somebody got married, somebody had a birthday and a birthday party. Then you found yourself uninvited to this party and said, how come I didn't know about this party that everybody was having, and how come I'm not invited to this party? When I talked to you just last week, then you had a party, I heard, but I wasn't invited. You know, and it sounds like it's egregious, or it sounds like some kind of malice was performed, or you're trying to, you know, shun me away from the family, or you're trying to purposely hurt me by not connecting me to this party. So we find this often happening when we make a phone call, then we hear about an event that we would like to attend or participated in, but we find out after the fact as if it was done on purpose.
And, Coach Eric, you know, the thing that you said, and we're going to get more into detail with this, a lot of times we're so easily offended as people. We're so offended. And then, to me, I want to just say this straight up, sometimes we are too coward to even confront the issue. You know, a lot of times we don't want to confront, you know, what the problem might be. We don't even want to find out. Most of the time, because we may feel some type of way, we're not even trying to even seek and see if what's going on is even actually real. You know, a lot of times I find that it's a mistake. It's a misunderstanding. And what happened is we'll take that misunderstanding instead of confronting it and going in love and saying, listen, you know, did I do something to offend you? Did I hurt you? Did I this, that, and the other? So you can clear the air, because then you'll find out, oh, no, this is because of this, that, or the other. Or you'll find out, yes, you may have said something that you didn't know that offended someone, you know. And what happened is we hold on to these little nuances, these little disagreements, these little back and forth, tick and tack, you know, issues. And then we hold on to those things. But the thing that we do not understand, and this is what we're going to talk about today, we don't understand that we have an adversary. We have an adversary that does not only like you, does not like your children and your family and like marriages, don't like people, because God created all mankind in his likeness and in his image. And what happens is the devil does not like families. He don't want things to be civil. And if it is, he only wanted to be for a certain time. But for you to have a successful family, everything is flowing, everything is functioning, everything is moving the way God has set family to be up, you know, the devil does not like that. And I think a lot of times we allow the enemy to come in when we take the time, well, we don't take the time, let's say that, we don't take the time out to try to figure out what is going on. And it's not just, it's so many families. This is what's going on in our community. You know, we're not there for each other. I say it all the time. We're not there for each other. We don't look out for each other. We have this, it's all about me and I don't care about nobody else. But let me tell you something. We need each other in this world, you know. And if you are a believer, even in this last day, we need to be extending ourselves to those who are in need, especially if you have the gospel and you are carrying the kingdom of God with you.
Let's start here. I'm going to talk about how the family is supposed to work. This is how the family works. It works this way. The family is a network of love and community. See, it's love and community, okay? And we're related and bound by blood or just tribal acceptance. And that's a big word, tribal acceptance. when you have the tribes, whether they be Native Americans, whether it be African tribes, whatever continent is on, when you have tribes, what they have in common is that they're the same people. They're a collection of the same people, okay? And they have respect and code and honor for one another because they're the same people. They're part of the same tribe. So that's what a family is like. A family is like a tribe. We're all bound by blood and by social acceptance. So guess what? You know, we should be able to communicate and be civil in our communication and the way we deal with them, and we should prefer one another. And again, I said it was a network, and because it's a network, we're supposed to make our lives easier because we're working together. A lot of families lack in areas because the whole family is not together, because the other part of the family that's no longer associating with your side of the family for whatever reason has the thing that you lack, and vice versa. All right, you shouldn't have anybody in the family trying to get a job and having to go outside of the family for help, or needs food in their refrigerator, and we have to go outside of the family for help. Certainly there's somebody in the family who has the resources to help out and reach out to that family. That's what makes a family, you know, and it's too much pride. And that pride brings about competition. Who's got a better house? Who got a My kids are smarter than your kids. Your kids are ugly. My kids are not. It's a lot of childish foolishness that's involved there that the devil puts there. Yes, I said the devil. He puts it there to create division.
Right.
Division. He's divisive. That's what he does. He creates division. How do you create divisions? You create offenses. I have an offense against you. Okay, so now I'm offended, and now we got this offense between us. You know why? Because I'm going to get to this later, but one of the issues here is that when people are offended, and you heard Coach Fran say we're easily offended, but you hear people offended, and then no one understands what forgiveness means in an offense. Sometimes you offend people without even knowing, okay? But you got to give that individual the opportunity to make an apology towards you, okay, to come to you and ask for your forgiveness. And you got to have the humility to ask for forgiveness, and it takes humility to give forgiveness, okay? And some of these things are missing. I've seen in my personal family, you know, family members not speaking to each other for decades. And it wasn't until I became an adult that I understand that it was a feud that's been going on for 40 years. 40. Think about this. A disagreement that went on for 40 years. And then it gets passed down through the generations, and you don't even know why you're mad at that side of the family. You have nothing to do with the offense that was made towards your mother or your father by your aunt or your uncle. You have no concept of it. You have no knowledge of it, but the effects are present.
I got something better than that. You weren't even born when it took place, you know. And like Coach Eric said, we talk about generational curses. And yes, a lot of them are spiritual. But it's some natural things that's going on that can be repaired if people would just humble themselves, you know, and apologize, you know. And like Coach Eric said, forgiveness. You know, I find myself even apologizing to people whether I knew I did something wrong or not. Why? Because two things. If I don't forgive, then I know my Heavenly Father will not forgive me. That's scripture. And what happens is we think it's okay to walk around and not forgive people and think that's acceptable to God because we haven't faced judgment yet, you know. But unforgiveness is going to meet a lot of people in judgment, you know. So you must learn how to forgive. I don't care how painful it is. And people say, oh, well, you don't know what I've been through. You don't know what they did. Oh, yes, I do. I've been through some things in life where I know, had not been for the grace of God, I'll still be holding things. But God is the one who will heal the wounded heart. He will mend those broken areas of your life. And this goes back to, this is why we need Christ, you know, because we can't live this life the way God intended us for us to live it without him. And that's one of the problems. You know, a lot of chaos is going on because we think we can live this life without God, and you cannot. You know, and so like Coach Eric said, here we got now third, fourth generation growing up, you know, and the enemy knows what he is doing. The enemy knows that he's trying to destroy every seed that comes forth. So guess what? That fourth generation where God want to raise up somebody that's going to be mighty in the family and do a powerful thing, he's trying to sever that before the baby even born in the womb. You know? And so we have to start being more mature. We have to start being more responsible. Because what we want is we want success. We want beautiful homes. We want beautiful marriages. But we don't care about our family dynamics no more. And let me tell you something. I don't care how successful you get. I don't care what's going on. You're going to find yourself in this lifetime. You're going to need somebody that's connected to your bloodline. And so it's been really, really shameful. And we're talking about this because the series of Family Matters, we're bringing it to you from different angles. You know, so today Coach Eric and I, we're talking about families, talking about what is the problem, and we got to identify that it's the enemy that's trying to keep us separated from one another.
All right, cool. We're going to segue into the next segment, okay, and it's called The Culprit, or What's the Cause of Division? Okay, we kind of addressed a part of it when we dealt with unforgiveness, but we're going to deal with the culprit. What's the cause of the division? Okay, so we're going to take a little break, and we're going to come back with it, okay, because this is very important stuff, you know, and I'm pretty sure that anyone who's listening today have experienced this. Because we have experienced this over and over again, and we try to figure out what's wrong, how come it's not happening, what's going on with the family, you know, and then we hear about things always after the fact and be like, man, we didn't know all that was going on, and how come y'all allowed that to continue to go on, and how come it's not being addressed, okay? So we're going to take a little break, and we're going to be right back.
Come out. Looks like referee is calling a commercial timeout, so we'll be right back with the Marriage Playbook.
Magnify His name with Elder Charnell P. Blaine and Divine Purpose. For all ministry engagements, contact us at area code 267-240-0709 or email us at dpministry01@aol.com. You can also follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And we're never too tired to give God an unconditional praise. Magnify His name.
It shouldn't be as hard to find a graphic designer with great customer skills. Over 20 years of experience at an affordable price. Accent On Design by Luz offers you personable service with great attention to detail. Find me on Facebook at Accent On Design by Luz. Email aodbyluz@gmail.com or call 267-753-5936. If you can imagine it, I can help you create it.
57 South is a user experience design and development shop located in Philadelphia. We have over 12 years of experience in the visual communication field with a long list of satisfied customers. We provide innovative solutions for existing and emerging platforms. Got a plan? Let our team of talented professionals help bring it to life. You can reach us at 215-701-3934. You can visit our website, www.57south.com. We look forward to kickstarting your next project. Thank you. Have a great day.
And we're back. Thank you for staying in the game with us. So let's continue on with today's topic.
All right, Family Matters. This is part two of Family Matters. Okay. We're going to deal with our second segment, which is the culprit, the causes of division. Now, we did discuss the unforgiveness. We discussed offenses, okay, unforgivenesses, offenses, generational indifferences passed down to the present generation as a result of an ongoing feud often existing after the originators have passed on and even died. So we inherited a lot of pain and a lot of anger and a lot of hatred towards one another was inherited from someone who was before us. Often the family that's participating in this is unaware of the perceived offense because it was before their time. But it affects the present because it was never addressed, never talked about. Okay, so we're going to talk about it. Okay, unforgiveness. Again, Coach Fran said being easily offended. I believe, and I could say this from experience, that we got to try not to take ourselves so seriously that, you know, we get so easily offended because we have, someone has made an offense towards us. We feel disrespected. We got young children in the morgue because they felt they was disrespected. Okay, this is a big thing in our community, being disrespected. Okay, well, first of all, if you respect yourself, when someone else disrespects you, you won't feel so disrespected if you respect yourself. That's the first thing. You know, we got to stop being so tender, you know, and so sensitive about our own disposition and get out of our own way, get out of ourselves. Okay, if someone offend me, I need to know the cause of you offended me because it has nothing to do with me. You know, maybe something's going on with you. Maybe you need some help in an area. Maybe I can help you. And we need to start having that mindset when we're dealing with people and not get so easily offended. I know there's pressures of life. People are frustrated. People try to go on. People die every day just trying to go home. And they got this thing called road rage. It's not road rage. It's just rage and impatience. Okay? Everybody want to go home. Everybody's tired. They had a bad day. You want to go home. So you're going to take it out on the guy in the car next to you. Okay? That right there is a lack of self-control. Here's one of the culprits. A lack of self-control. Everybody wants to be respected, particularly men, wanting to be men. And a man, I always explain this to the young ones, men, you know, if you want to know what a man is, first thing a man has is self-control. Okay, you can't be a man. Anybody can just go crazy and kill somebody. But can you control your anger? All right, can you master your emotions? Because I know a lot of people that can't master their emotions. They're overtly angry, overtly jealous, out of control, okay? And they think too much of themselves. So when someone brings you down to earth where you really need to be, you get offended by that. Now you've been disrespected. Now you want to hurt somebody because you feel disrespected. Okay, one of the problems is, you know, you're too sensitive and you got a very, very low self-esteem. Okay, the biggest part of manhood or even womanhood is self-awareness. Know your strength, know your weaknesses, and don't get so easily offended when someone offends you. Okay, matter of fact, I want to get better in every area of my life. So if you got something negative to say about me, hopefully it's going to help me. But that's how I'm going to take it. Let's not be so easily offended. And then once we offend somebody, be quick to apologize. You know, be quick to ask for forgiveness. And here's the big thing. When somebody asks for forgiveness, be quick to accept it.
Exactly. You know, don't have the mindset because you can allow things to keep going on where it can just be stopped right there. And I know right now, you know, this seemed like why are they talking? Because our families are being destroyed. We're trying to figure out what's going on with our young people. They're watching us. They're watching grown people. They're watching adults act like children. They're watching adults not show the love and care for one another or another human being. You know, so if a parent can go up to the school and beat a teacher half to death because the teacher said something to that student or gave that student a bad grade, you know, what is that teaching our children? And so we have to start now turning around and turning and shining that light back on us. How are we dealing as adults? because our children are watching us, and these things are being passed down. And like Coach Eric said, we have to be willing to forgive immediately. You know, oh, well, I'm going to forgive, but I'm not going to forget. Well, if you have that mindset and the way you're talking, you haven't forgiven either. You know, so let me just make you aware, you have not forgiven when you have that mindset and that attitude like that, you know, because people who really forgive, you might still be hurting, but you don't have an attitude about it. You're not all, you don't have animosity. And this is the thing we have to understand. It's not even that, you know, you're hurting the person that you mad at. You know who gets all of that stress, all of that headaches, shoulders all tight, you know, sickness in the body, because eventually that thing go from being natural to spiritual, you know, or from spiritual to natural, and then it start affecting your body because the body wasn't created for all of that. And so these are the things we have to be mindful of, you know, and we really have to come to a place when we say we want to make change, we want to do this, we want to, then we have to start really doing that. You know, if it's something you want to do in your community, if it's something you want to do for children, something you want to do, because I always say this, we need to start at home first. We really do. You got nieces and nephews, pick them up and take them to ball games. Pick them up and take them to the movies. Pick them up and take them to the library. We have so many, well, I know those who have a huge family like I do. I have enough family. You may have enough family. If you start at home first, when are we going to instill stuff in our own children, you know? Because it's easy for us to complain about other people's children and what other people's children are doing, what other adults aren't doing. But guess what? If we are not putting our best foot forward to change what's going on, we are really now a part of the problem. You know, we're part of the problem, and we need to do more solving the problem and coming up with some more solutions to the problem instead of allowing this thing to continue on and on and on. So I'm with you, Coach Eric, and we had, even the beginning of the year, we made some vows concerning how we were going to change some things around, because I don't care if it's just you by yourself. If God speak to your heart, and you may be the one that have to start bringing the family together. And let me tell you something, if there's a bunch of issues and things going on, it is the biggest task you would ever want to experience in your life. But if God lay that thing on your heart, I want you to be obedient to the thing, because if God is with you, then trust me, it's going to work, you know. But it ain't going to be easy. You know, nothing we do in this life is easy, but I'm telling you, you know, God has probably laid it on someone's heart. Listen, I want you to throw the bomb. I ain't letting them at my house because 3 years ago they did this. You know, you're like, wait a minute, 3 years ago? You know, no, no, no. It's laid on your heart, you do it, and watch God begin to work a work in our families, because we really have to start winning our families back from the hands of the enemy.
Let me show you this. If someone in the family has a conduct problem where they're making offenses toward other members of the family, we need to bring the whole thing to the tribe, to everybody. Let's address this stuff. Let's bring it out. We got one of our nephews that's stealing things. Every time they come to that house, they steal something. You come to the house, you steal something. So this nephew or this niece has a reputation for stealing something. Want you bring the whole family together and pull that dude or that girl on the carpet and say, listen, you can't be stealing stuff in this family.
That's right.
Know what we do? You know, we talk about that boy and say, or that girl, and say he steals when he comes over here. You don't go tell a parent, or when you do tell a parent, you do it in a derogatory term, but don't address that this kid got a problem. And this kid don't stop this problem, we're going to be visiting him in jail. You know, we don't think right when it comes to people who have issues in our family, instead of addressing the issue and seeing what we can do collectively to solve it or come some kind of resolution concerning it, what we do is attack it. You know, that person got a drug problem, we call him a druggie instead of saying, let's get him some help. Let us all come together and get him some help. Have a family meeting where everyone say, we got somebody in our family, an intervention, if you will, that has a drug problem. So everybody knows, don't give him any money, don't do this, don't, you know, warn everybody and say, listen, let's do what we can to do to help this individual because this individual has a drug problem. You know, what we do is we talk about that person. The person, that's why why your son is, that's why your son, my nephew, is a drug addict. Wait a minute. Ain't that your nephew?
Right. Yep.
You see what I'm saying? So instead of dealing with it as a tribe and connecting yourself, we disconnect ourselves from something because we want to feel good about ourselves. One of the biggest enemies to family is having low self-esteem, not feeling good about yourself. So you don't feel good about anybody else because you don't feel good about yourself. And if someone else is doing well, you're jealous of that because you don't feel good about yourself. Now, these are issues that we should address in our own personal lives individually. Okay, now I want to talk about something. I want to talk about differences, the thing that makes people different, because God forbid that we're indifferent towards our family members. The things that make us different: intellectual, economical, educational, social differences. Now, these things should not affect the unity of our family. Because someone on that side of the family has more money, that should not affect how I treat them or how they treat me. Or if they got more education over there, that shouldn't affect how I treat you or treat me. What we should do is use the differences that we have to make our family stronger. Okay, if your side of the family is good with education, why don't you send your sons and your daughters over to your cousins and help them with their homework so they can get their education better? Or if you got more economically sound, why don't you come and have a discussion with your cousins and with your brothers and sisters and say, listen, I'm going to help you, okay, with your budgeting so that things can be better in your situation, okay? The most important resource that a man has is his family. And we should not allow differences to disconnect us from our resource, because it should be help. If you have a huge family, should not be one family in that family that's without food when you got a huge family. We should use our strengths to meet the needs of those families who have lack. That's in our tribe. That's how tribe civilizations used to work. Used to be the barter system. It wasn't always money the way it was. It used to be barter. If you don't have eggs, they got chickens. They lay eggs over there. So I'm trading my eggs, and you go hunt. You bring in the meat, and I got the eggs. Now we both got meat and eggs because we're trading with one another. That's how it's supposed to be. You give me eggs, I give you meat. Okay? You need milk. They got milk over there. You give them milk. You know, it works together, so no one is without. Why? Because someone has mastered that resource, okay? And that's what they share with their tribe, whatever it may be. Never allow your differences, to isolate you from your resource, which is family.
That was powerful, and that's one of the things we always let our young people know, even adults, whoever it is. When it's family, you have to teach them that the enemy is the culprit behind isolation. So if something is going on in your life, even if, like you, Coach Eric said, if you have different issues and things that are going on in your life, see, and that's the sad thing about it too, because sometimes we'll get so caught up in what we're going through and how we feel and how somebody hurt us, we don't even recognize or identify that somebody in the family has an issue. Sometimes we miss that. This is how suicide, and then everybody like, oh, man, why they kill themselves? Nobody was even paying attention. You know, I find that we waste so much time on things that don't mean anything when we don't have time to waste. You know, we really don't. And that, like I said earlier, Coach Eric and I were determined. 2018 came in. We were determined to actually change, even with our busy schedule, ministry, you know, the radio show, the business, even with all those things, we had to stop and realize that you are never supposed to be so busy, so much in ministry, making money and all those things, and all of that is good. But when you don't spend time with your family, and then you look up and the only time y'all meeting is at the coffin. Only time you meet in is when you're at a funeral. Only time you're meeting, okay, maybe somebody's getting married. you know. But a funeral, everybody show up, and then we say the same thing. Oh, we're going to get together. Give me your number. Oh, let's stay connected. You know, I love you. Because now you're realizing you and that person have never had any problems. And guess what? Even if you did, at that moment, it don't mean anything. Why does it matter now that the funeral's over, everybody done went back to normal like nothing happened? You know? So, no, you have to begin to start reaching out to one another. Reaching out. And listen, it may be just you. You may be the one that has to start it. You know? And that's the mindset someone has to have. I made up in my mind that I'm not accountable for anybody but for myself. But I'm also accountable in the sight of God to do the best I can do and to love, respect everybody, and extend that love. Because, see, we say we love, but love is an action. Love is sacrifice sometimes. It's going to be sacrificing your time, you know, sacrificing a couple of dollars to take someone out to lunch, you know, to show them that you love them. So, I mean, it's so serious now because we are literally killing one another. And then we are not only killing one another in each other family, but because all these families have all these issues, now each family are killing. It's so much killing going on. And it's because of the issues. You know, it's the issues and the things that's not being addressed.
Come out. Looks like referee is calling a commercial timeout. So we'll be right back with the Marriage Playbook.
Reader looking for more compelling Christian fiction? Maybe something a little more edgy or a bit more real? Are you tired of most Christian fiction shying away from the truth and settling for a rose-tinted view of the world and its issues? Or are you an author who has a compelling story to tell but you're afraid it doesn't jive with today's brand of Christian or secular fiction? Are you tired of Christian publishers telling you that your content is too edgy? Or maybe you've tried submitting your content under the radar to secular publishers only to be told your themes are a bit too religious. We invite you to take a look at the Crossover Alliance. We are an online publishing company that specializes in edgy Christian speculative fiction. Speculative fiction with Christian themes and real-world content. Our company is formed from authors and readers just like you who are breaking into the mainstream and Christian markets with this compelling genre. Head over to the www.thecrossoveralliance.com for all the details on who we are, what we do, and what we accept. Right now, if you sign up for our email newsletter, you'll receive a free digital copy of our first short story anthology. Check us out today and help us spread the word about the Crossover Alliance, where light shines brighter in the darkness.
And we're back. Thank you for staying in the game with us. So let's continue on with today's topic.
Okay, so look, I wanna finish up something because we need to understand, we said this before, we have an adversary, and what happened is the devil, the enemy, he will burn both candles from both ends. He'll burn a candlestick from, and I know you've heard that. And that's what he does. You know, he's working on one side and he's working on the other side. And what happens is we always see the individual, but we don't see it's the enemy behind it that's doing these things. And I'm telling you, because we have experienced some crazy things within the past 4 months, Coach Eric and I. I'm talking about from our uncle being murdered on the streets of Philadelphia not too long ago, actually maybe 3 weeks ago, we had just put him to rest, you know, to this morning we wake up and our window is bust out, you know. And let me tell you something, Coach Eric said something to me when we were coming to do the show. And Coach Eric said the Lord laid on his heart, before the enemy can use it and make issue and we start trying to figure out who did it and start blaming other people and things like that, you got to make sure you shut the enemy down so that thing do not go further than it's supposed to go, you know, and that you can hear God's instruction, his direction on what to do, or maybe to do nothing at all. You know, because who's going to be, he said, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall inherit the kingdom of heaven. You know, we are supposed to be the ones always keeping the peace in the family when you call yourself a born-again believer. A lot of people I hear say, oh, I don't want to go to church because they go to church, but they always stirring up trouble and drama. You know, that should never be our, that should never drama and confusion. That is of the enemy. You know, and we as born-again believers, we shouldn't have that mindset, or even that's not the character of God, you know. So I'm telling you, when things come up, you got to wait a minute. Yes, you'll get upset. You're human. But calm down for a minute and try to rationalize what's really going on before you make a decision and move.
Well put. Now, this brings us to our last segment of the day. And thank you for listening today, you know, on this Monday, Labor Day. 2018. I know you're eating ribs. Try not to eat too many of them, but enjoy yourself. Okay, go back on your diet next week. Okay, so our last segment is, whose job is it? Whose job is it? We're talking about bringing the family back together. Whose job is it to bring the family together? Well, it's everyone's job. You got to play your role, your part in it. Try not to be so easily offended, and when you do, be quick to forgive. Okay? All right, now, it's your job to take the steps to bring the family together. Number one, you know, be available. You know, let someone have access to you. Don't isolate yourself. Say, I don't mess with them. I don't feel like dealing with the family. That's the wrong attitude, because that's your family. Because they need you, and one day you're going to need them. Okay, so don't isolate yourself. You know, and then people who are isolationists, people who isolate themselves, always say, don't nobody come to see me. You don't, you know, the Bible puts it this way. You want friends, you have to show yourself friendly. You can't be all honoring and angry all the time. Nobody's going to want to come and see you. It's not pleasant to come to see you. So make yourself accessible by being what? Pleasant. Ain't nothing wrong with being pleasant. You know, you're angry for no reason. You're an angry American for no reason. Number two, address any anger issues, any art that you have with somebody. Don't let it go. Somebody offends you or you feel offended, whether it's by perception or deed, address it. Say something. You stepped on my foot, man. You stepped on my suede shoes, dude. You know you stepped on my feet. You know you. I didn't like when you said that. The way you said that, I didn't like the way you said that. Man, don't call me that. Don't say that. I don't like that. I'm offended by that. Okay? Put it out there. Okay, let them know. Address this stuff. And then be quick to forgive or ask to forgive. Okay? Address the thing. Number three, assist in the guiding and mentoring of your nieces, your young nephews, your young cousins. Act like you're part of that family. That's your brother's son. That's your sister's daughter. You know? That's your cousin's daughter. That's your second cousin. That's your third cousin. This is family. Okay, assist them. Okay, if they have a need, you see a need, address a need, assist them. You know, let them come over the house to get something to eat. Don't act like they're not your family. Don't say, that's my cousin. If you don't know that cousin, get to know that person because you know that's your cousin. Okay, address it. Number four, have every now and then all-inclusive gatherings. All-inclusive gatherings, not necessarily a family reunion. Open your house up to every member of the family. Now, there's nothing wrong with having your immediate family come over, but just don't perform these kind of functions in malice. Don't deliberately omit members of the family because you don't want them there. That's wrong. Even if y'all got differences and y'all can't come to inclusion, that's still your family.
I like what you said, Coach Eric, and one of the things that came to mind is my mom has a rule, and I love it. My mom has a rule, and the rule is I don't care if two people are not speaking. First of all, she better not hear that. But I don't care if two people are not speaking. You cannot come to her house and act like y'all don't like each other. Now, that's old school because I remember somebody else saying that. You know, you're not going to come here and act like you're not happy, act like you're not, and you better not look at that person cross-eyed, and that person better not look at you cross-eyed. You better act like you love each other while you're in front of me, you know. So don't be trying to set up events and bring people you know that have not resolved issues unless you're going to use your home as a mutual or neutral place where those two people can come together. So don't be setting people up either. You know two people, and so I'm invite this woman, and you're not going to tell them that each one is going to be there without the intentions of at least bringing them together to be better. You know what I mean? Or for them not to have issues with one another. You know, the thing I've learned about this, if I haven't learned anything else, because my heart was so broken, the whole family is, please keep us in prayer. My uncle was murdered, and now the preliminary hearing and all that stuff is getting ready to come up. Listen to me. Everybody was so heartbroken because of this. Listen, time is running out. That family member that, you know, y'all had those memories when you were younger and now you're getting older, those things, that love for one another, listen, whatever is not worth you looking up and now you will never see this person ever again. It's nothing like that feeling. That's, you know, so come on, what is more important or how serious was it that you and, you know, you can't get over it? You know what I mean? It's time to get to work, you know. We got to work on this.
All right, which brings us to number five and the last one, and she mentioned it. Don't wait for someone to die to have a forced reunion. Since we're talking about death, don't make the mistake of thinking you have time to love on your loved ones because they may not be here when you decide to get ready to do this. And I've experienced that too many times. And if that hasn't happened yet, live long enough, and you may experience this a few times. Get your family together because you don't have time for this foolishness. You don't have time. You're going to wish you had time when you stand in front of that coffin. You're going to wish you had made the time to have a longer conversation with that individual that you love. Boy George sung a song years ago, and one line in the song I like, he said, time is not going to give you time because it's moving. It's not going to give you time, and you can't get the time back. You can't get it back. So you don't have time. Time actually has us, and we'll have to go. We'll be gone long. Time will go on long after we're gone, okay? So all the elders of the family, try not to have any beef because it's going to filter down to the kids, okay? You got to show unity so they can go in lockstep with you and use that as your example. Make the most of the time you have. And the last thing I'm going to say, and this is going to affect my family immediately, do not allow mobile devices to rule in your house.
Praise the Lord. Look, you guys, we thank you so much. Look, we're going to get up out of here. We had such a blessed time just talking to you guys. Thank you for all your love. Continue to keep us in prayer as we always bring you information and content on this broadcast. This is the Marriage Playbook with Coaches Eric and Fran. Listen, though, we have an awesome, awesome production company, and we want you guys to tune into these other phenomenal, phenomenal shows. And we have Deborah with Dovetails with Deborah at Sundays 2:30 p.m. That is Dovetails with Deborah, Sunday 2:30 p.m. On Tuesday, we have Right Stuff with Parker Cole, and that's at 7 p.m. We have Friday, Let's Talk About It with Jenny White, and that's at 8 p.m. On Saturdays, that's Parker J. Cole's show, and that's at 2 p.m. Don't forget the Marriage Playbook with Coaches Eric and Fran. That is at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Listen, I want you guys to enjoy your family today. And after today, enjoy them on tomorrow. Call somebody. Tell them that you love them. Get some cards. Get some stamps. Get some envelopes. Take and put their name on it, write something sweet in it, and mail it off to that person that you guys have been having issues with. Amen? Go on Facebook, message somebody, and just say, I love you. You know, one cousin I went on, and nothing that we had beef or all, but I hadn't talked to him in so long, I made sure I went in and gave him all my information, and now my husband and I are going to make ourselves available to link up with him and his wife and go out to dinner. It is our responsibility. We have to at least make the first move. You know, you don't know that it's going to change an entire generation if we begin to show the love that God has extended to us. So, look, you be encouraged, eat barbecue, relax, have fun, play games, jump rope, eat some watermelon, drink some tea. I'm telling you, because me and Coach Eric is about to go back, and we're going to, my mother bought a bushel of crabs and got all kinds of stuff, macaroni and cheese, collard greens, and, oh, my goodness, all kinds of juices, and she has all kinds of stuff going on. So we're going back to enjoy our family and the festivities. Listen, this is Coach Fran.
And Coach Eric.
And, look, we out of here. Enjoy your Labor Day.
Well, folks, that's all the time we have left in this game.
Yeah, but the season is not over. We got more games to play.
Well, we thank you for spending your Monday evening here with us at the Marriage Playbook.
We hope we've encouraged you with some strategies that will give your marriage the win.
All right, so let's have a good week of practice, and we'll see you at game time next week on the Marriage Playbook.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.